Blog Talk Radio.
The Net Live, brought to you by the Spire Institute, sports training and education at its finest.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Live with Barney.
I dominated.
Peter.
We're into that because we're horny for volleyball.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
Wow, the live studio audience is a little bit bigger, 50% larger today.
You saying Peter's fat?
Maybe 100%, 150% larger.
It's good to be here. Good to see you.
Chris McGee, welcome back to the Net Live.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
Your presence. And I know you're going to have a lot of famous people to talk about, from the Angels to the Clippers to the Lakers to anyone else random that you came across in your travels the last couple of weeks.
I have nobody to talk about.
We're going to get to that, because I don't think that's true. I think that's an absolute lie. I don't think that's true. We're going to get to that in just a second. Welcome to the Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 26th of March, 2012. We appreciate you tuning in. We have a great show planned for you here today. In the effort to bring you the most diverse volleyball show on the planet, we have an incredible lineup. The London Games coming up this summer, going to be July through the middle of August. We have UK Volleyball's vice captain, Andrew Pink, going to join us on the program. He's actually an American expat. Has a London or has an English passport. Father lived in London a lot, and he has joined the UK volleyball team. Interesting, because the volleyball team there has to be formed out of basically nothing. The UK not normally having a professional league or national team of any significance. So we will talk to Andrew about the preparations for the London Games for the home team. We also have Michael Gervais of Pinnacle Performance, Jeremy Rouché bringing this to our attention, a gentleman who works with lots of professional athletes, volleyball players included, on visualization and the mental aspect of the game. We'll talk to him about his business. And then we have a whole bunch of other news and notes in addition to the AVCA College Volleyball Weekly. And, Geeter, one more guest.
Michael Boley will be joining us. Michael Boley, a former AVP player. He is the head coach at Loyola High School, one of the best boys high school programs in the country year in and year out. Also runs a boys volleyball club. So we'll have him on for a little bit, talk about a big matchup coming up in boys volleyball this week, Coast of Loyola, which is big in these parts, and touch on boys club volleyball, because we don't give boys club enough love.
Yeah, we don't give them enough love because we just don't have a huge connection to it, unfortunately.
But now we do.
Yeah, there's no Geet Pete to report on. How goes things with the Geet Pete and the Angels job and everything else? I mean, Chris McGee, tell us about your life.
We had the SoCal qualifier, not this past weekend, the weekend before. We qualified. We lost to Vision in the finals, coached by Jason Mansfield up there at Stanford, and he's got a great team. They beat us in the final. So we qualified. Ojan from Coast, who has a fantastic team this year, qualified. And the surprise qualification was Club West. Your boy Kurt Lasich from PEP does a phenomenal job out there at Club West. And they upset Wade from San Diego and got in. So there's 9 bids right now out for Junior Olympics. So it's kind of crunch time. There's a couple more qualifiers out there, and teams are going to be scrambling to get in. So pressure's off getting in. Now we can kind of just focus on getting better. So club's going very well. Angels went to spring training for a couple days. That was really cool.
Picture day or anything down there?
No, you know, it was actually the coldest it had been since, I guess it was beautiful in the 80s, and then the day I got there was 52.
Where's their spring training?
It's in Arizona.
Oh, gotcha.
But that's a really cool thing to be a part of. Being a baseball fan my whole life and never going to spring training, I was shocked and disappointed in myself. But it was really fun being there, and went to Salt Rivers Fields, which is Colorado Rockies' home field, and it was really, really, really nice. I introduced myself to Albert Pujols. He was just alone in the clubhouse after the fifth inning when they took him out. So I went in and said hi, and hey, I'm from Fox. And he's nude, which was
awkward.
Probably awkward for all of us, but saw my moment and had to do that.
Just keep your eyes up.
But just did some interviews. I hosted a show with Jose Mota, and it was really fun. Got back on a plane, and now I'm just doing a lot of Clippers, and Angels start in a week, so it'll be real busy. April and May are going to be kind of narnar.
So things with the new job are good?
Yes. Not going to name drop on you except for Pujols.
You want to. You already did.
Except for a nude Albert Pujols.
not going to do that. First guy to interview Vermont Sessions. Not a big deal. But, you know, can't all be traveling and living the dream like you in Supercross world.
Hey, you know, when you get to interview Brett Metcalf and Ken Roczen, that's a day spent around the world in motocross right there, an Aussie and a German.
Nobody knows who they are.
That's okay. You should.
I don't.
You should.
Do you tweet about them?
50 to 70,000 people in every city I go to each weekend do.
Do you tweet about them?
Do I tweet about them?
Yeah.
I should. I should tweet.
I should follow you on Twitter.
I should be tweeting.
How many followers do you have?
14, maybe?
Okay. I'll boost that. I'll boost that up.
You will make a percentage increase by beginning to follow me. That's fantastic. Hey, news and notes out there, a couple of things. 48 women named to the A2 training squad. 48. What does that tell you about the women's side of the game in the United States? You have 42 on the A2 program. To me, that says the talent level is unbelievable and unprecedented for American women's volleyball.
42?
48.
48.
A2, 48.
Wow.
Forget the fact that there's 20-some people on the A1.
I was
going
to say on the A1 team.
Right. You're talking about 70 women in the gym looking at opportunities
with the
national team. Yes.
Those women that are on the A2 team, you getting paid? Are you?
Nah.
You're just scratching. You're just trying to be on that team any way you can. You're working. You're coaching. You're working odd jobs.
No, the A2 is composed of usually college kids. Those are usually the players that are still in college.
That's right.
Spend their time playing. Used to be World University Games when that was around. Now they usually take them on a tour or they'll play in Nationals. And they've had a couple of teams in Nationals in recent memory. Because Nationals used to be the open class. I don't know if it is now, but it used to be a pretty great competition on the women's side of the game. A lot of athletes getting together from Nebraska or from Penn State, and they have alumni teams, and those teams were legit. So it was a good training ground for some of those young players. Just another event you could add in to that A2 training schedule rather than just being in the gym beating each other up. So the women's side of the game, incredibly healthy, 48 women. Also, IDQ events going on, the IDQ going on this past weekend down in San Diego. This is a qualifying process for the Norsega Beach teams.
I think Fatma won.
Correct.
Who'd she play with?
Good question. Had it up a second ago.
Brooke Sweat, maybe?
Brooke Sweat.
Thought I saw a tweet about Fop and Brooke winning, and I know Hanson's with Fendrick, so figured that was Brooke Sweat.
Was it not pouring on them this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually should
send inland,
a quick little text, but I'll tell you right now, but that facility apparently down in Chula Vista for the beach,
yeah,
it's a long way away from here, but Chula Vista's deep, San Diego, but it's supposed to be unbelievable. A lot of my kids go and train for that, you know, youth national team stuff, and it's supposed to be incredible.
I know people will talk about, oh, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, whatever else.
You know, right? His voice on that?
Wasn't quite the dude that we had a couple weeks ago. But people will talk about how they want to train here. Hey, look, if you can go down there and you have the cafeteria, the physical therapist, and the court all right there,
absolutely,
and your residence, you can stay. That is ideal. That is the indoor system.
Yeah, that's how you want to train.
And yes, the sand is not quite as deep, I bet, but I'll bet it's close. They did a nice job building those courts down there. Fantastic environment. A little bit warmer right now. Wasn't raining yesterday inland like it was here. Like it was dumping on us.
Pouring.
Yeah. Pouring, yeah. Football canceled for the first time because the Miracosta Field was floating. It was like the ocean.
The Eagles had to cancel?
We were there. We were warmed up. We were walking out to play. Going to be our first real test of the season. And they cancel on us as we're walking out. Because the field, when you walked on the edges of the field, it was like walking on a waterbed.
Dude, that's
crazy. There were 6 to 8 inches of water under the carpet.
I got to tell you, driving yesterday was, for us, I mean, people around the rest of the country are laughing at us for sure, but I got to tell you, I was not used to those conditions.
I'm laughing at you.
I was going 38 on that freeway. I mean, it was sideways, wind, rain, people were panicking, it was dark.
Yeah.
Didn't love it.
I was
did not love it.
Very happy that unlike 99% of the people here who own big SUVs, Tahoes, whatnot, I have four-wheel drive. It came from Colorado. I flipped it in four-wheel, and you can rip that son of a gun around.
Four-wheel doesn't matter when it's raining.
Sure it does. When you're going through puddles and you're turning, you get all four wheels turning instead of the back end coming around.
All four wheels may be turning, but you're not actually touching the ground.
If I'm hydroplaning, correct.
Yes.
But since I wasn't hydroplaning
at the time.
But if you drive a two-wheel drive Tahoe and you're going around a corner,
you're done.
Woo! Anyway, my point getting back to the beach situation down there in Chula Vista. Chula Vista, by the way, I went there in 1994, right before I went to Pepperdine. In between my seasons, I went down there for a B-team training. It was the middle of nowhere. You got off at Airport Canyon Drive down there on the, is it the 15? The 8 or whatever? I think it's 15 that's down there.
Both are down there.
Yeah, but you're taking it straight down. You're going to go to Mexico, but you get off at Airport Canyon, and you make that left, and you saw a couple of little shops, a dive bar, and that was it. There was nothing for the 8 miles on out to Chula Vista to that training center. Nowadays, it is built from the moment you get off all the way right up to there. I mean, that land, I think they considered selling that land, if I'm remembering correctly. They considered selling that training center just for the land value back in the early 2000s. Glad they didn't do it. Good to maintain what you already have. But it is a fantastic environment. And this is getting back to what's happening with the beach. I had some communication this week with a couple people associated with beach and saw some emails back and forth. And these beach players still have to get used to the fact that what you wanted to be treated like indoor players. You wanted that. I've been hearing that since back in 2004, 2003. We want to be like indoor. We want money. We want support. We want you to care about us and invest in our sport. It's happening now. And there are some people having trouble getting adjusted to what it means to be under the banner of USAV and having to deal with the requirements that are associated with having USAV run your organization.
Of course. I mean, anytime things change or you're getting all of this stuff, there's going to be rules that you need to follow. And if you're not used to that before, I mean, it's going to be a generation thing. Like the players that are there now, they're going to make their way out and the new kids are going to come up and that's what they're going to be used to and everything's going to be fine.
Right. You're exactly right, Jeremy. It has to be a generation has to go through. But the current generation who was wanting this and pushing for it now finds themselves not liking some of the stuff that goes along with it.
Can I ask you a question? Because it's driving me crazy.
Okay.
I'm sitting here looking at you. What does UCCS volleyball mean?
This is University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. My brother is the head coach there.
No, how come he's not on the show yet?
Keith Barnett.
Keith Barnett.
The more striking, better athlete. But that's just going off of what people always told me.
Definitely spikier hair.
Yeah.
A little bit shorter. Was a setter. Probably
good setter, too.
Probably dominated the ridge, too.
I believe they swept Hawaii this weekend, possibly. I have to get Jay on
the ridge.
But, yeah, I'm pretty
I got a score sheet here. ABCA College Volleyball Weekly will come up, and I'm sure Jay will have something for you.
Can you send that over to me? You always can I please look at all
look
that stuff?
Look at that. 3-1.
Yeah.
3-1. Number 14 hanging on tooth and nail into the top 15. Cal State Northridge defeats Hawaii, number 12.
It's all about getting better, man.
It is all about getting better.
You know, through the course of the night, Jay Roche, when you're up in the club,
yeah, you start
and
off,
you're working on a game,
and
you get better as the night goes on.
By midnight,
well,
I'm
let's
just
equate
dominating.
That to a season. Get better as the season goes on. We want to be hitting our stride here, maybe sneak into the playoffs.
Pepperdine had a great week, a Penn State-esque week. Defeated a guy named George Mason. Apparently, one man attempting to beat an entire team of Pepperdine athletes.
Jim Fomm in physical therapy cannot call in real quick, but said it was a lot of fun. And yes, they won. She and Brooke Sweat. I was going to have her call in for a minute and just tell
good
us what it was like down there and stuff. But,
good for them.
The Fighting Gators have locked up the number 8 seed for the MPSF tournament. Vinny Lopes.
The Fighting Gators.
You need a
Gators.
T-shirt that says the Fighting Gators.
Yeah. I appreciate Vinny.
Hey, Jay, who ended up doing the analyst work on that ESPN3 broadcast? Because I got a note about that, but I work for Supercross, so I couldn't be there. ESPN3 was looking for an analyst.
Did not hear that.
Yeah. I don't know who they went with.
Because they were broadcasting what?
To the web.
No, gotcha.
Yeah, it was all to the web.
You know what's a cool thing is a BYU TV. I used it for basketball when I did a couple of WCC basketball games. So LMU was on there and a couple other teams, Portland. They have great volleyball. They have their men's volleyball matches on there. Good production. So I've seen a couple of matches. It's actually a lot of fun. BYU TV, you all have it.
They have a lot of money, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay, whoever they were horrible. A beach guy who is in charge of the USA Beach. What? Are we?
Is he trying to make fun of the beach?
And some random
dude. Some random dude. Interesting.
Who was the play-by-play?
That's what they're saying, some random beach guy.
Oh, I thought you said analyst.
No, then he said the analyst was random dude.
Gotcha.
I don't know. We'll have to check it out and report back on that. I'm not sure who they would have gotten for that match. We still have Andrew Pink coming up.
Yep.
Michael Gervais.
We've had some sad passings in the sport of volleyball. I know we don't want to dwell on all that too much, but always like to send our condolences. You know, Gio passed away.
That's right. Giovanni, what was his name?
Giovinazzi.
Giovinazzi, that's right.
Passed away.
From UCLA and then most recently of...
I know you've been battling migraines and stuff. Yeah. There's some articles on it and stuff, but he was very well loved in the volleyball community. Sam Wolpat just passed away. She's a Stanford volleyball player. So I used to coach against her. Didn't know her that well, but she her twin sister Carly, great player as well, and coached against him for a few years, so you know, would see him every weekend at those tournaments, and obviously know the coaching staff very well up at Stanford, so and of course the volleyball community in Santa Barbara. So very sad day and heartbreaking day. So thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Yeah, and a bad week in Italy. Vigor Bovalenta, who many of those who have watched international volleyball may remember, a man who played in the 96 games, played in the 2000 games. I played against him a number of times. He was 37, going to be 38 in May, and collapsed during a match versus Macerata. He's playing for Forlì there and passed away, leaves behind four children and a wife. Certainly far too young for an incredible volleyball athlete and icon there in Italy. And then I know we have one more. Jeremy, you were letting us know about Keith Jones, player on the East Coast.
Yeah, popular guy on the East Coast. He, you know, Geeter and I, we would know him if we saw him. I mean,
he's a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, made some AVP main draws. It was round. Great guy. Lots of fundraising volleyball events have been going on the last few weeks on the East Coast, like in Tennessee and in Florida and stuff like that. I will post a link to his page on the NetLive Facebook page so you can donate and stuff like that. He has a rare form of... leukemia. I have it written down, but something else, but a pretty aggressive form of cancer. The doctors say there is a chance he can beat it, so anybody, if you can donate, great.
Yeah, great guy, and you know, obviously our thoughts and prayers are with Keith and his family as well.
Absolutely.
Greg Giovinazzi, if you were to say it, the Italian way with the double Z there, 54 years old when he passed away, and certainly a man who touched a lot of the world of volleyball. So no easy way to transition out of that, but we do want to talk about the men's match coming up. The men's match, of course, May 12th. If you've been listening to this program over the last few weeks, you have heard about that. The men's final is going to be May 12th, but there is a whole tournament going on that week. Starts on May 7th.
This is for everything, right?
This is, outside of the 96 games, the biggest volleyball event the United States has held outside of the Olympics, I guess 84 and 96. Outside of that, the biggest volleyball event that the United States has held. Olympic qualification on the line. The focus of all 4 years. That's what the 4 years are about. Yeah, it's nice to win world championships. Nice to go to World Cup. We talk about different achievements and the professional contracts and everything else. But the reality is, for the national teams, this is the focus. Qualify and do well at the Olympics. So many people don't even realize, casual fans don't realize, because they've gotten used to the United States being there every Olympic cycle. You must qualify. Ask the Canadians about qualification. They have struggled qualifying. Last time they qualified was 96.
Well, you hit on a great point. I mean, even for those of us that follow it because of this show, or, you know, I think we just assume the United States will be there. I mean, if I'm not talking to Reed every couple of weeks on the show, you don't really know what's going on or the urgency to this. I mean, this is it for them. You know, and they have a chance to do it on their home turf, which is a great thing. So hopefully, you know, you just cross your fingers at it. You know, you'd imagine the volleyball community will rally around this team.
They better. They better. Or, Geeter, you're going with me. We're going to tag team some people for not showing up.
Yeah, not
go over there and strangle, choke.
Is Geeter going to be there is the question.
That's the question. We're working on some scheduling stuff, and we're hoping to bring you more than just the finals. The finals is going to be on Versus, NBC Sports Network now.
NBCSN.
Well, I
you're going to
have
a
contract.
You're
going to
make it happen.
We have a play-by-play guy and a color guy, so If I get a contract, then
what else do you have to do?
We'll be further along the path to success there.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is May 12th, the finals. Angels are on the road. If it's not my road trip, that means I will 100% be there.
What about the 11th?
Same thing.
That's the Friday, the semifinals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're working on setting up the Net Live half-hour lead-in show and a live broadcast from those matches. From, hopefully, if I can work it out, to do the Mexico match, which should be the best match of pool play. I think it's on a Wednesday, if you guys can look that up. And then the semifinal. Unfortunately, I will be at a wedding that night, but we will try and work out.
So you personally won't be at finals?
No, I'll be at the semis. I'll be at the finals. Pardon me. I will not be at the semis. I will be at the finals.
My fault. I was going to just
unleash on him?
Yeah, and I was actually looking forward to it.
Well, that was the question. If I didn't show up, how would I choke myself for not being there?
We'll get your wife to do it.
We want to let people know that day appears as though it is official. The Vol BQ by Matt Gardhoff is going to happen at the Pyramid. This has been an ongoing process. So if you are coming for the finals, plan to come for the finals on Saturday.
I will be there. I just read that I am not going to be on that Angels trip. So the only team that can ruin it is Jeremy's Clippers.
So you're doing the match Friday night with the Net Live gear. Maybe Jeremy is your analyst.
Sweet.
I mean, we could put in it. We can have an A-ball and a voice.
The only reason.
Yeah. We have three mics. Set them all up.
Got 95 guys from this show that will jump on and be an analyst if we need it. I'm not worried about that part.
I need Jeremy there to set up the equipment. That's why I need Jeremy there.
Well, you tell the Clippers.
Jeremy's more valuable than me, actually.
They can make the playoffs, just don't have a home game that weekend.
Well,
that's the only reason.
If they fire Vinny Del Negro, they may not make the
playoffs. They just need to stop panicking.
They need to relax and settle down.
Geeter's just happy that nobody's blaming him for their losses.
Who you hate when this goes? Yes. And you have no idea what people are saying.
Who are Justin Alderson and Denny Lennon?
Oh, Justin Alderson. I know him.
Okay. Those are the two guys that did the CSUN.
And match. Denny Lennon as well. Denny Lennon's a longtime beach runs CBVAs and all that stuff.
Okay. So that's who it was. I have not seen
Justin Alderson does a lot of high school football for the web at Fox Sports. He's also done some ESPN3 volleyball. He was probably the play-by-play guy.
Probably. There you go. I want to mention that I was in Toronto this weekend, up in Canada. You kind of forget when you get on the plane that you're actually going to a foreign country.
Did you forget your passport?
Absolutely not. I did turn my phone on, which I'm sure cost quite a bit of money, up there in Canada. I'm not sure how the extra 50 miles over the border makes it more expensive for phone companies, but that's a gripe for another day. So I did have an opportunity to meet up with Cam Kerr, one of the loyal listeners of this show, and a man
who's done
his own.
Had you ever met Cam Kerr in person?
Had seen him on his broadcasts because he had video on his.
He's apparently having a hard time getting into the chat room, but everybody else is fine. But he says hello because he tweeted me.
Very good.
Nobody knows that you're on Twitter, so they don't hit you up.
He was kind enough to buy me a jambalaya, a local pizza place. There's about six pizza places within two blocks of the Rogers Center there in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, Cam Kerr does such a better job on his show than we do on ours. I mean, he's got video.
I found out why. I'm like, Cam, how did you get this video hooked up? It's amazing. He said, well, my buddy who I started this with works at CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company, and we just went in after hours, passed cards, and we had it all right there.
I wish it could be that easy.
No joke. Like we could just, wander into the Fox studios if we knew somebody who worked for Fox.
Sorry. I wish I could help.
But Cam was, it was great talking to Cam because he was talking about the podcast and how they developed it and the website and how they developed it and the idea behind it. And a lot of it was exactly what we attempted to do here when we initially set out the Volleyball Network. Of course, now we're on the Volleyball Magazine website. We had the Volleyball Network, and the vision that initially was set up to be sounds just like what Cam was doing. Then they had the podcast, and now they've kind of gotten off the podcast because things have gone other ways. And, they just – bottom line for him was he said, look, we have a Geeter, we have a Roche, we don't have a Barnett, a Rock, to stay there and be there every single day.
They have a Geeter, huh?
The backbone of the show.
My vision when I joined the show 2 years ago, because I was promised a lot from Barney, and he's delivered on nothing. But my thought was the Howard Stern show with all the pictures in the background and the fun stuff that
right.
I saw with it. And then, you know, right. Jay Roche's there, like, you know, he's Fred. And
we could put him behind some glass.
You're Robin, I'm Howard. I just thought that that was going to be kind of
how am I Robin?
I don't know. But it just didn't go that way.
Can you turn your phone off, Kevin?
Hang on, let me get the...
Someone's faxing you? What's happening here?
It's a professional show.
That's in the studio. We know we have people that want to call in. That's what happens.
Finish your rant.
I have no rant. I had a rant last week.
I was talking to you. I was talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, so that was my vision when I joined.
So what you're saying is we're not there and you're leaving the show.
Still not there yet, 2 years later. We're getting there, though.
It's a picture of me over there.
Yeah.
From like 1997. I could take that thing down eventually here.
Good arm swing, elbows back, left arm up.
Yeah. You could put that on a training poster. You know, I used to be somebody. The Net Live, ladies and gentlemen, the volleyball.
You know who we're going to have on the show in a couple weeks?
Oh.
Adam Johnson.
Speaking of used to be somebody.
Fans, Adam Johnson, living in Texas now.
Where are they
has
now?
Has emailed.
Where are they now?
And wants to come on the show, and we're going to put him on the show in a couple weeks.
Tom Sorensen.
Because we're not having a show next week?
Correct.
Okay.
Tom Sorensen, a few weeks ago
he
now,
was, funny.
Was on here on the Where Are They Now segment, and he continues to kill me each week with, have you watched Spartacus yet? Have you watched Spartacus? I have to watch Spartacus Blood and Sand while I'm on vacation.
You know, we've had this discussion on the show about Sons of Anarchy being one of the great shows of all time.
Yes.
I now have to get into Mad Men because everyone tells me that
it came back
is
last
a
night.
Top five show of all time. Came back last night, and I have to get on board. So my next road trip, got to read Hunger Games, and I got to get into Mad Men.
And wow. How are you going to listen? How are you going to listen to Mad Men on your road trip, Peter?
The headphones that you gave me that you want back already when I have one more road trip, and I'm going to keep them.
Awesome. Let's rephrase I let you borrow, not gave. Because when you say gave, that means like you own them from now on.
Dude, look at how many headphones you have.
Jeremy and DJ Roche are going to continue to fight it out over the break. Hopefully, they'll both still be here when we get back. But I know who will be here. We'll have Andrew Pink of UK Volleyball. He will join us. We also have Michael Gervais of Pinnacle Performance going to join us on the program today, the AVCA College of Volleyball Weekly coming up. That and much more fun from the home court here in Redondo Beach. It's the Net Live. Thanks for being in. You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at Spire Institute. Spire's postgraduate volleyball academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks, athletic development with Michael Johnson Performance, and educational options all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. Spire Institute, postgraduate men's and women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off, it's adding a year to your future. Sign up today at spireinstitute.org.
All you Trekkies and TV addicts,
come on,
listening to this don't mean to bring static.
Come on,
all you Klingons in your grandma's house, grab your backstreet friend and get loud. Blowing doors off hinges, grabbing with the pinches. And no, I didn't retire, snatch it off with the needle nose pliers.
Blackies will overhaul. What did you want you never seen before? Sliding in the glazes, like your tea, you know what you're paid. They put me in check, so believe when they say I know better than you. Except when I-
Yes, they can arrest me. Fake fight, cross over and shoot lefty. You look upset, you'll calm down. You look like cable guy, dunked off of your crown. I so like smoke out of chimney. You never been me. You wanna battle to begin in hip hop beat?
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sport's biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com and subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottles Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
Welcome back in the Net Live on the Volleyball Network. No, the Net Live on Volleyball Magazine. I got to get used to this verbiage, man. I got to write that down.
Better stop sending checks.
Dude, I've been rolling the other one for 3 years. Takes a second.
3 years.
3 years this program's been on the air. Chris McGee? I think you have 9 months of credit, but 3 years.
Dead.
It's just fun to have you back here so we can give you grief in person rather than just
coming up on 2 years.
Our
might be my 2-year anniversary.
Yeah,
I just had my one. Thanks for giving me a gift.
Oh, yeah, then it's my two.
Here, you can have this broken helicopter. Great performance. I don't know where I'm going with that. Completely stuck. Hold on.
Just say great performance, Jeremy, and I'll say you're welcome.
Now, I was going to say we've had some terrific interaction with our fans there on the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheNetLive. I got to get used to that, too, because I all weekend say facebook.com/SupercrossLive.
No.
I got to post one of those up there for you guys to see on our Facebook page. But Ed Chan just threw up a picture from the IDQ this weekend, and we appreciate people that are throwing things up there, ideas for the show, different happenings in the sport of volleyball. Really good to get that communication going. Sometimes you guys out there, our fans, are putting stuff up there that then turns into discussion points or things that we talk about on the show.
Can I say something real quick before we get to the good doctor?
Sure.
To all the people that are posting on our Facebook page complaining that we're not giving them a lot of beach news, it's because we don't know.
It's
not because we're holding it back from you. If we knew, we would let you know. Trust me. I get
Here's what we do now.
I have an NVL. It says Maryland, Oshkosh, Long Beach, Aspen are allegedly confirmed for this year, and then there's question marks behind Miami and Vegas. So
gotcha.
NVL has updated their site.
Correct.
Good for them.
Cuervo IMG, USA Volleyball, 6 events, starts in Fort Lauderdale, Memorial Weekend. I know that. I don't know if it's a public schedule yet. NVL, Barney just touched on it. FIVB is starting in, what, a month in Brazil? 7 tournaments, I think, before the Olympics. Great race going on between Rosie Gibb, Furby, and Lucena. That's basically beach volleyball in a nutshell.
That's what we know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And as soon as we know more, we'll let people know.
I always think Austin Powers when you say, in a nutshell. This is me in a nutshell. People out there who are under my age are going, what? Austin Powers, what does that mean? All right, let's bring in our first guest, Jeremy. This man has worked with Major League Baseball, the NFL, championship boxers, Olympic swimmers, Olympic weightlifters, volleyball players, everybody. Elite athletes of all kinds out there getting advice from this man and his company, Pinnacle Performance, using the Focus system. Please welcome to the Net Live to talk about the mental aspect of preparation and performance in sports, Michael Gervais. Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Great to be here.
We appreciate you making the time and glad Jeremy made this connection. Kudos to Jeremy. We have to say that every time he provides us with something because it's in his contract. I wanted you to give us kind of an overview of Pinnacle Performance and the services you provide and perhaps the germination of the idea to form this company and go the direction you have.
Yeah, great. That's as a top-line conversation, what we're doing at Pinnacle is we're offering high-performance psychology services to both individuals and organizations that are interested in up-leveling their game and kind of moving into the next phase of competitiveness, whatever industry that they're in.
Michael, can you talk about the performance model, you know, that really helps your clients thrive under pressure that you've come up with?
Yeah, so, you know, at the top level, really, there's not just one model that's taking place, but really if we're just going to talk generally, what allows people to really thrive under pressure are four key ingredients, and they're all very, very trainable. In America, we don't do a great job of teaching our young athletes or competitors how to do this, but here's the four that we need to really hone in on to be great competitors and to be able to perform under pressure. The first is, can athletes generate a sense of confidence no matter where they are, no matter what the circumstances are? Can they generate confidence? The second is to be able to have the ability to generate a sense of smoothness, which is, you know, calmness is what we're looking for. And the third is being able to focus and refocus when distractions get in the way. So if you can generate a sense of confidence, calmness, and focus, you can do the fourth element, which is be able to adjust to whatever comes up. Now, as a model, those are the core skills that we work athletes on to be able to thrive under pressure.
How do you work on that? Let's use club volleyball, for instance. I got a player who's, you know, comes in the back row. She's a great player and a great server, and coming off a bad weekend of serving where she just couldn't hit any area, and you could just see in her face the confidence gone. So you get back to practice and you want to do reps. You want to talk to him about it. But what are some of the things that you can talk to about this young lady about?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the only way that we can, as people outside watching and observing the athlete of what's happening, the only way we can get any sense of confidence is by seeing the body language, which is not a great measure. You know, it's said that 75 to 95% of all communication is body language. However, in this case, sometimes it's really obvious to see, you know, if they're pissed or they're head is down or whatever, that they're struggling with something, but we don't know what they're saying to themselves. So the first order of business is to, you know, if you're obviously concerned about the athlete, you pull them aside and say, hey, listen, I want to just, what was going on in your head, you know, at the end of that game or after that serve or whatever it might be, and get that athlete to have a conversation with you. And when they're having that conversation, you're looking for one of two things. Are they beating themselves up unnecessarily? Is their self-talk negative, right? Or are they seeing this as an opportunity to grow? You only get one of two choices there. If they're in that negative camp, we have a moment where we can teach them how to flip their conversation and find the opportunity, find what's good, find where they can grow. And that's this idea of moving from negative self-talk to positive self-talk. And why I say that is because self-talk, the mechanism of confidence, is self-talk. And self-talk is like one of the cornerstones of being able to, you know, really excel when most people are scared and choking up.
That's great stuff. Now, Michael, talk about, you know, when you get these, do you get more athletes or coaches wanting to reach to your services in terms of like, hey, I got problems with my teams, or do you have the athletes, the individual athletes come to you?
You know, it varies on projects. Right now I'm doing a bunch of work up in Seattle for the Seahawks, and that's really kind of a coach program. I'm working on a project right now with Red Bull, their high-performance program, where we're taking a athlete up 130,000 feet, and he's going to jump from that distance, and he'll be the first human to travel past the speed of sound at 1,000 miles an hour. And that, obviously, is an individual athlete that wants to do that work. And we're also, yeah, I mean, that's one of that will be the biggest story in sport since I've been alive. And it's going to be a game changer for what's possible for the human performance, the human potential for the mind and body. No one's ever done it before. So, and that's an individual program, and we're working with the athlete and the aerospace engineers around him. So it varies. It varies on who's looking for what. And, you know, I've got an office in Manhattan Beach, so that the doors are knocked down from volleyball athletes wanting to you know, really take advantage of this next evolution of training. You know, we've done a great job with nutrition. We've done a great job on the conversation of dynamic movement. And the conversation is coming strong to this next phase of training, which is getting the mind right.
Yeah, Michael, I want to ask you about that because I remember watching skiing as a kid, and even then, back 20 years ago, you would see the skiers mentally going through that vision of the course, and they would always make a big deal out of it on skiing broadcasts, but it seems like this is something that's new to a lot of other sports. Some of the ones you've mentioned, football, baseball, some of those, but also to volleyball, it seems like it's brand new and something I could have used to settle myself down as a young athlete. Why has it taken so long for this to come around and join some of these other sports?
Yeah, that's great. I'll tell you, I can speak to my kind of take on that. And I don't do, my business does not do a lot of work with clubs in volleyball. A lot of club athletes will come through, but the majority of work in volleyball for me is on the beach. And so that seems interesting, right? Like, why would club be less inclined as to beach? And why would skiing be more inclined to, let's just say, volleyball in general? And it's pretty simple. It's the sports where athletes are exposed for their mistakes that have the greatest propensity to say, I got to get this right. So skiing, they're on the mountain by themselves, whether it's backcountry or gates or whatever it might be, and their mistakes are their accountability. And by just the nature of the sport, they get the glory as well, right? So when the stakes get higher, people start to pay more attention to all of the different facets that allow greatness to take place.
Yeah, and Michael, go ahead.
No, please. Yeah.
I was just going to say, when you're talking about a sport like skiing, I mean, a mistake can lead to, you hate to say it, but death. I mean, you're talking about high stakes.
Yeah.
No, without question. I mean, they're torquing their body in ways, and the force that they're putting on their body is incredible. And any time that, I mean, they're great athletes. I have such respect for what USSA, United States Skiing and Snowboarding Association, has been doing for our American athletes. And if you follow skiing, which obviously you have, the last 10 years has been a ginormous growth in what we've been able to do. And sports psychology is a big program with USSA, big program. They have four sports psychologists that they work with. So the mental part of the shop there, they're taking care of business.
Yeah, you're talking about the individual sports. In the volleyball situation, for instance, I could just blame Geeter because his set stunk, and that's why I didn't have a good night.
This show needs you. See what happens.
But I wonder, you said the individual athletes start to realize the value of the services you offer, you and your team offer. How receptive are a lot of team athletes when it's a coach-initiated program?
Yeah, it's great. Do you want to talk about volleyball specifically or other sports in general?
Let's talk about the best example of you having to overcome some situations where the team wasn't necessarily on board with what the coach wanted to do.
All right, so let me start with the story, and then I'll answer the question. Is that I graduated kind of my program, and it was down in San Diego, the PhD program down in San Diego. My mentor said to me, listen, Mike, don't go out elephant hunting. Like, you know, don't go for the big guns first. Like, get ready, get comfortable in your environment. And so I was like, all right, I gotcha. The first phone call I get is from a pro hockey team in L.A. I won't say which one. And I get a phone call from them. So there I am, you know, week three out of my doctoral program, and I'm in the club, and the coach really wants to do some work on the mental part of the game. So here I am facing the elephant. And the coach walks in, and we've had a good discussion ahead of time. And he walks in, and he's going to introduce me to the club. And I don't know if you've been in a hockey locker room, but there's it's a distinct smell. They just got off the ice, so everyone's sweating. The equipment manager's kind of running through, and he's got jock straps hanging off his arms as he's running to the laundry. And the coach walks in, and you've got like 18 guys, sweating guys. They're a little agitated, looking at me like, okay, what are we gonna do? Coach walks in and says, all right, listen. We're going to do some new shit now. Sorry for the language. We're going to do some new stuff now.
I couldn't have been happier with that. Go ahead.
Okay, good. And he says, I'm going to go for the real language here. Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll just keep adding it to our SBC fines. It's no big deal. Yeah, there's okay. A whole trial going on. No, we're on the internet. Anything goes, Michael.
Here we go. So he walks in and he says, we're going to do some new shit now. We're going to get your fucking heads right. And everyone kind of looked up like, all right. And he goes, so if you're fucked up in the head, go talk to this guy. talk about, you know, getting set up. So now I've got about 18 guys. You know, these are pro athletes that are looking at me, and I'm brand new to the industry pretty much. And I stopped and I said, Coach, the door's open for you because we all know that you're first in line. And the room erupted, and then you know, from that point, we just right. And so he stopped, and he was like, this motherfucker. You know, so it's a great way to – that's how I cut my teeth. It was my first kind of gig in the pro sports a number of years ago, so it was great. So to answer your question, it depends on the culture. So if the coach speaks value of being able to let go of mistakes and speaks of value of being poised and confident and really understands it, as soon as you bring in somebody that's kind of what they do, meaning me or my team, that's what we spend our time thinking about, teams are wide open for it. They're like, great, let's go. This is what my mentor, my coach, you know, is talking about. But if it's not kind of part of the culture, we end up seeing 30% of the athletes are like, yeah, I know that there's value here. 30% are kind of too cool for school. They're right in the middle. They're not sure what to do. And another 30% are like, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't want to spend my time on this because they can't quite get their arms around the value of it yet. And that's about the way that I've seen it on a team side.
You know, I always think about a sport like golf as well. And you know, you see Tiger had not won in 2.5 years until yesterday at Bay Hill. And people talked about what happened to his game. And you can't imagine probably the enormous pressure of what he went through in terms of his own personal life. And that just being on center stage for everyone to talk about. I don't care if you're Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. That's tough to overcome.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and you make a great point about these sports that where you're exposed. You know, in beach volleyball, you're out there in literally a bathing suit, and you're playing in front of a lot of people, and there's just two of you. So your mistakes are seen by everybody.
Michael, go ahead.
Okay, I'll just share this as a quick little anecdote, is that I had a former Olympian on beach, a conversation we had, and he says, you know, all I wanted to do, this was, you know, kind of trials to make the team, is I wanted to put my head in the sand. I just, the crowd was heckling. It was embarrassing. I just wanted to hide. And this was for trials. Like, so there's nowhere to go on the beach, literally in a bikini or a bathing suit. There's nowhere to go.
Michael, I noticed you guys have a team here. You have a couple of other doctors that work with you. If someone wants to get in touch with you to better their own athletic performance or talk to you about their club or their college team or anything that they're interested in talking to you about, where do they go? Who do they talk to?
If they're interested in kind of exploring the mindset and, you know, developing a high-performance psychology program, just hit us up, pinnacle.pro, PINNACLE.pro, and you know, we'll find you.
I want to let you go on this, Michael. I heard you say facing the elephant. I don't know that I've heard that one before. Is that you guys? Is that something you talk about, facing the elephant?
We'll actually talk a lot about facing our ghosts. You know, the facing the elephant comes from the idea, don't go elephant hunting until you have an elephant gun, right? So people are, you know, wet behind the ears and full of piss and vinegar and want to get out and kind of get after something. And I spend a lot of my time with people in very high-stakes environments, whether it's a UFC or in extreme backcountry action sport elements. And, you know, we have to make very sure that their mind is right, their body is right, and the entire unit is working in a very high-performing way. Because if we are in a high-stakes environment and we're off, disaster takes place, and as part of a team member, it's too hard to deal with. So we'll talk about, you know, if you're going to face the elephant, make sure you got the right equipment.
Dr. Michael Gervais is partner and senior director of high performance psychology at Pinnacle Performance here in Manhattan Beach, California. If you want to get in touch with him, pinnacle.pro, and get Michael's information. Michael, thanks so much for joining us here on the Net Live today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Take care.
Thanks, Doc.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
How happy is Jay Roche that his guest just crushed it?
Dominated.
And drop more swear words than we've ever had on the program.
I don't think, have we ever had one on the program?
We've had
swear words. Oh, yeah, we had a couple
Jeremy
callers.
Jeremy every week plays music that has swear words.
And I think we had a couple callers when Brandon was mining the phones.
The other thing
and we had a couple of people who on the chat board were going a little crazy, this and that. Listen, folks, it's for me, it's germane to what's happening or the quote
yeah,
or what you're trying to give out. I mean, and TV drives me nuts with that, too, because just put it out there.
Yeah, it's
because
it's,
everybody talks that way. If you're in a hockey locker room, nobody uses flowery language in a hockey locker room.
And
folks.
He's such a great
player. He wasn't cursing just to curse.
No.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic.
I loved it. Loved every second of it.
It's a great story. I mean, that's how the hockey coach talked, and that's actually how he broke through to the players by then saying, okay, coach, well, you're first in line. It's a great story.
It's funny he talks about whether athletes will be accepting of it or not. And I say I wish that I had been more open to this service when I was younger. Because I know if you presented it in front of me, I'd been like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, but honestly, I could have used it.
Yeah,
it would have settled me down a lot earlier than I settled down in my career, and I probably would have been better. Would be good for young athletes, club athletes, to at least be exposed. And even if they don't buy in at 16, 14, 18, whenever, at least they're exposed. So maybe they get re-exposed by 20. And maybe at that point they're ready to buy in. Because I think it's you got to be touched with that a few times perhaps before you're going to buy in as a young individual, pretty special person to admit, hey, I could really use this help the very first time they get an offer.
I remember being in college and my coach John Price bringing in Walt Kerr, who was the women's coach at the time, and he talked to us. And I remember some stuff he said really hit home, and I've actually kept it and thought about it and used it in my coaching career. But then again, I've also brought in people to talk to girls teams, and some kids get it, some kids don't.
Right.
It's really, you know, when you're playing professionally in a sport, you're usually of age where you've gone through a lot, as you mentioned, and there's times where you want to get an edge. I use a guy named Parker McLaughlin a lot. His brother played for Stanford volleyball, won a national championship. His father, Chris, does broadcasts over in Hawaii. Well, Parker's a great golfer, and it's interesting to hear his story. He won a tournament on the PGA Tour a few years ago, and still thought he needed to get to the next level, hired a new swing coach, changed everything, and his game went completely south. He's now working his way back up like he's off the tour completely. And it's a great golfer who's won on the PGA, but his mind was, I got to get better still. How do I get next level? And he won a tournament. It's just, golf is
Is
I mean,
it almost
look at
too
Tiger
quiet?
Changed his swing due to injuries or due to whatever many times. It's insane.
I wonder if golf isn't almost too quiet. You could really drive yourself crazy.
It's insane.
Because there's nothing else happening around. I as a volleyball player, I like the noise.
Yeah.
And that you can get caught up in the flow of what's happening. And then you're not – because whenever I think about great performance or you think about Michael Jordan or my own times where I felt really good in a match, you're not thinking – and this always makes me think of the Top Gun classic thing where he says, hey, I'm not thinking up there, you're just reacting.
Yeah.
When you're really in that zone, you are not thinking. Everything is automatic.
I'm going to put it into volleyball perspective.
Yeah.
Peter Jacobson, a great golfer, once told Jim Rome on a talk show when talking about Tiger Woods when he was in his, you know, at his best. Great golfers usually have 5 great rounds a year. That's what's so amazing about Tiger, that he's in the hunt every week.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Carey and Misty winning 112 in a row. And and Jeremy was a big part of that. I was a big part of that in terms of watching it. We weren't always overseas, but at least at home. To do it every single weekend, that streak for over a year, to me, is incredible. You're doing it on the world stage, then flying back, and you know the travel bar.
Yeah.
You're going from time zone, and not just a time zone. You're not going east to west. You're going all the way to across the world, to China. For them to do it every weekend, I always thought was one of the most remarkable streaks that I didn't think got enough credit.
Yeah, I think it's funny when you get into streaks like that, I think it's almost easier. Everybody talks about the pressure of keeping the streak going, but when you have a streak like that, what that means is every time you step into that environment, you are slipping into that particular mental space where you know you don't think you're going to win. You know when you step on, you're going to play at a level that is so far above everybody else. You're just going to play at your own level, and the production of the results is kind of separate. But you know you can slip into that space, and that's what Misty and Carey did for that whole stretch.
Yeah.
They slipped into that space every time they got on the
game. 4 years prior, they had an 89-match win streak that fell to Jenny and Annette at Manhattan. But it was in Hermosa, I don't remember. But, you know, just that is really incredible to have two streaks like that where everyone's gunning for you every week.
So, I asked players when I first came on tour was when they wanted me to play music all the time, all day long, during the match, whenever. And I would ask players, I was like, does it bother you? Because I know you can hear it. I had the speakers facing away from the court, but I'm like, I know you can hear it. And the top players that I asked about it, they're like, look, once we're out there playing, like, I don't hear anything you do. So I'm like, good. But then some of the lower players are like, well, it could be distracting. So you could tell the mental difference from the top player. Because I was asking, because, I mean, I would bring the levels down.
Yeah.
And during the finals, I wouldn't do it. Cause
yeah,
I
remember this was a big thing for you because he was getting it from the bosses.
The brass,
hey, we want this. But
and they
wanted
it louder and louder,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it was always
like,
a real, you know, and it was always a little for him. Okay, I want to make the players happy, too. So it was a real interesting time, but it was amazing.
It was funny
to hear
hearing from the top
players. The top players kind of like, whatever, dude.
So you're telling me beach volleyball needs music to be entertaining. Is that what you're telling me?
They need me.
They need you.
I believe our next guest is on.
He is.
Should I bring him in?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good friend of mine.
You want music for this? Or
yeah.
Hey, one more time. Pinnacle.pro.
Yes.
Michael Gervais. Check it out. Read up on his stuff. He's got some great videos up there. He's got Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, a lot of other things that talking about getting into that zone, that
yep.
mentally focused zone. Go and check it out, Michael Gervais.
And we're going on to another Michael, as DJ Roche puts a little beat out there. Good friend of mine, good family friend, comes from a great volleyball family. He's a former AVP player, now the head coach at Loyola High School, the best program in the entire country from top to bottom if you go back in history. 5 CIF Southern Suction Championships for Michael. He's won a couple of state regional titles. He's also been a national champion in 2009. He's got the number one team in the country. He also runs a boys club. Bring in Michael Boley. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you doing?
Good. I got to start off by telling you, since I work at a Catholic school, I'm not going to be able to swear on the radio. So
I was going
to
say.
Just wanted to throw that at you, Reed. Yeah. I think you'll get a kick out of that, too, because you know, the good judge of education.
Okay. Hail Mary.
Be careful.
Yeah, saying your penance. Mike, first let's talk about, before we get into some AVP stuff, you know, you're a former player and a great volleyball family. Your Loyola High School boys volleyball team, we don't talk a lot about boys high school volleyball, but you guys are in full swing. You're number one in the country, and you got a great match coming up against MiraCosta. For the people that live around the country, talk about that Costa-Loyola rivalry.
Well, it's funny because, you know, people refer to that that particular game just as they would Tobacco Road, you know, in Duke, North Carolina. I mean, it's huge in that community. We've got – our school is a big feeder school, so we've got kids that come from Manhattan Beach, Palisades, that area, that local West Side area. And, you know, it's been going on since the late 70s, early 80s, and there's been some great players that have come out of both programs. You know, going back to Mike Dodd, St. John Smith, John Root, you know, Brent Frohoff. So you've got two unbelievable powerhouses going at it each year, and there's nothing like it. The kids get just jacked up for it. And the one thing that we used to do, we used to play at the first match of the year. But what ended up happening is that whether you win or lose, you either thought you were going to win the CIF that year or you were just going to tank your season. So because it was just two great teams starting off the year. So we've actually pushed it back a little bit, and we hope that this year will bring nothing but the best out of both as well.
And now, Mike, the match is actually played at Loyola Marymount University, and you get about 3,000 people.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you guys have obviously been to BYU, and you've been to the Penn States. You know, those are the types of crowds that we get. And it's not just from the both schools. It's a community event. And, you know, I've got guys that are calling me from Orange County that want to get tickets and want to come up. And it's just a bigger venue, and it's nicer. And both schools just couldn't hold the crowd that we were getting the last, you know, 10 years or so.
You know, Mike, people that listen to our show live and are on the chat room love that kind of stuff because they really follow volleyball closely. Just to give them perspective, how many D1 guys will be on the court Friday night?
Gosh, we've got 5 for sure. MiraCosta's got, I want to say, 4. So you've got, and then there's some that are actually, you know, there's some underclassmen that are getting looked at now. But I can tell you that SC is looking pretty good. There's a George Mason out in the East is looking good. Santa Barbara's got a couple. Ohio State's got one. And then you've got some smaller schools like NYU that are looking at a few of our players. So you're going to have about 9 to 10 guys, and those guys that are probably not even playing that night being recruited as well come their senior year. So it's going to be some good volleyball. It's top-notch. There's no doubt about it, and I think you're going to see two of the best teams not only in California, but, you know, in the nation, really, just from what we've done.
What are some of the other great teams? There's always some good teams, you know, in Orange County, Newport Harbor, Dan Glenn and that group. And, you know, Punahou is always one of those teams mentioned, too, when you're talking national stage.
Sure. No, you know, you can't take anything away from those Orange County schools. They've always in the hunt, and you've got some quality coaches over there. You know, Steve Conti over at Corona Del Mar, Danny Glenn at at Newport Harbor, who's since retired from the boys' side this year officially,
right,
which is kind of a bummer. But he does a great job. You know, Santa Margarita had a great program. Modern Day's got a decent program. Huntington Beach. So there's just so many more schools out in that little Orange County pocket, and they're all battling each other day in and day out. But, you know, I would say, you know, there's you can't ever count them out in the hunt for anything. And then you've got the schools like Punahou, who's turned out some pretty good players in the past. And Rick Toon does a great job, former Pepperdine player, does a great job over there. And I think Stein Metzger was actually coaching over there for a little bit, and he's back now. But
yeah,
I just saw him at one of our matches, and he asked how he did, and I had to tell him, break the news to him. But he said that if he was there, it probably would have been a little different outcome. But anyways, so I would say, you know, and then there's some schools like there's a Catholic school out in St. Louis. You know, Chicago's got some schools. So, you know, it's I just what I'd like to see is and I'm sure you guys see it and hear it all the time, the men's side of the things just is not growing. You know, we need to grow this, and the college teams need to start providing. You know, the LMU is a great example. You know, my dad, Reed, if you knew this or not, I don't know, but he was the first All-American out of LMU as a volleyball player, and played basketball, and he had Big Wayno. And you know, he's been on the board there. He's you know, tried to get that sport back, and it's just a tragedy that they couldn't continue that sport. And it's real frustrating. But there needs to be more avenues and more colleges for these kids to go and play at. You know, the women's side, there's a handful. And but it just be nice if we could grow this. And anytime I can promote, you know, men's volleyball, boys volleyball, whatever you have, you know, I'm going to do it because I think it's that important.
Well, Loyola and Marymount needed a big screen, so they had to get rid of the volleyball program.
Tell me about it. Well, there's, you know, we can talk off the air, but I just, you know, Rick was doing such a great job, and my son Parker is actually going to go play for Rick next year, and
libero,
I'm looking
right?
forward to that. Yeah, libero. So I'm just looking forward to it because I think Rick did an outstanding job and speaks very highly of you and his times there at Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, you could do the swearing off air when you talk about that.
Absolutely.
Hey, talk about Parker and his recruiting process, going through it as a parent, and his eventual decision to attend UC Santa Barbara.
Well, you know what's funny is that you're never, as a parent slash coach, and especially in the program that I have, you're never in a win-win situation with that, and it probably goes for anybody who's coaching their son. Oh, he's only going there because of who his dad is, you know. Oh, he's only doing this because of who his dad is. So I really feel bad for him in a sense that, when we were going through this, you know, he went on trips to Santa Barbara, went on trips to UCLA. He had a trip scheduled for Chicago or Loyola Chicago, and it was right after the Santa Barbara trip that he said, "Dad, I think I found my place." And I thought it was interesting because I really didn't hold his hand through this process. I let him do it on his own, and I really wanted him to reach out and do this. And, you know, obviously you hear stories from a lot of your players that go on these trips and you know, they tell you what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I was just so impressed with the community at Santa Barbara and their team and their players and how they really are just one group of guys. It's just, you know, there's 16, 17 individuals that are all one. And the respect that they have for Rick and the way he handles his program, I think that really dug deep with Park. And he didn't really ask a lot of questions. It was more, you know, he did say, "Hey, Dad, what do you think?" And I think Santa Barbara in the lifestyle out there and just, you know, it's still an hour and a half, 2 hours away. I think it's going to be the right fit for him. I really think he enjoyed the fact that you've got the best of both worlds with the beach and the indoor game, and he loves doing both. So, you know, and then you've got Rick and Aaron Mansfield, who Aaron actually coached for me as well.
Yep.
A few years ago. Aaron does a great job, and, you know, he's a young guy who's going to move up in the ranks, I think. And, you know, Lee Nelson was a good friend who's no longer there. But they just did a really good job of talking and explaining and selling their program. And they were just honest about everything. There wasn't anything to hide. And that's what I admire most, you know. And I think Parker caught on to that and really enjoyed it. So that's where he's going to go. And he's not in my back pocket, but he's just far enough to be far enough.
We are huge fans of Rick on the show, so love that he's going to go play there. Mike, talk us a little bit about boys club volleyball. I know you're running Run now, and I haven't been involved in the boys game since the early 2000s, late 90s. So just where boys club is headed, especially on the national stage, you know, is it growing? Are there more kids playing?
I think, you know, you're talking to a guy who was doing the high school thing for so long, and I really wasn't a huge fan of the club because – of, you know, what I always got on the back end. So it was always, hey, my club coach said I was the best player he's seen since Karch Karai. And, you know, they'd come onto my team and I'd have to cut him. And I'd say, God, well, let me talk to your club coach. You know, he's probably making double the amount of money that I'm making, and I'd love to just sit down and chat with him and see what he really thinks of you. And, but, I, you know, so it took me a while to really grasp, and it wasn't until my kids started to get old enough to play. I've got three boys and a little girl, but it wasn't until then that I realized, and I really did start to see the importance of growing this sport. I got involved in a club about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. It was called MB Surf, and it was actually a very good friend of the family, Larry Myrick, and his wife Christine, who were running it. It was just one team, and Parker was asked to join it as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old. So it was, that's where I got my first taste, and I ended up taking it over 2 years ago because their boys had outgrown the club, and basically he sold it to myself and John Beckwith, who, Chris, I'm sure you know John Beckwith. You coached him at, yeah, one of your favorite players of all time, but he's one of my assistants. So we took it over, and we've grown it to five teams, and we start at the 14s level and go all the way to the 18s. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate the fact that you're in that community of the South Bay where you've got the hotbed of volleyball. I mean, you've got Manhattan Beach and you've got Redondo. So we draw from that area. Our teams have been quite successful. But, you know, you've got other clubs down in the Orange County area, Balboa Bay, and then you've got a few clubs in the Valley, you know, with Synergy. Walt Kerr's got a club out there. So, you know, it's nice to see these clubs that are popping up. I wish there were more that were starting to pop up a little bit. From a business standpoint, I don't, but from a volleyball standpoint, I do. It's pretty competitive. What's sad is that the season, the short season that we have from September to January, if you will, once that ends, the sad part for me is that there are a bunch of kids that go to a high school program that don't either have a team or it's not very good. So they really lose a lot of what they've learned if they're in a good club program. And then what they end up doing is, obviously, which is good for these guys, is paying the private instructors to come out and, you know, teach them or keep them going with their passing or their hitting or their arm swing, whatever it may be. And then on the flip side of that, you guys, is that I've got to correct that or I've got to tell them, no, we're doing it this way. So it's, you know, it's good and bad. You know, anytime I see that ASC filled, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But again, it all goes back to I just want these kids to be able to play at the next level because a lot of them think, there's nowhere else to go. I can't play at UCLA. I can't play at Pep. I can't play at Santa Barbara.
There's always
I'm done after high school. Northridge. Can't play at Northridge. I apologize. Absolutely. But, you know, there are schools. In fact, I'm getting calls from Division III and II schools that I've never even heard of that are, you know, that are interested, and they want to give these kids an opportunity, and there's money involved. So, you know, that's the sad part for me is that you just wish that there was a little bit, there was more avenues. Like the girls' side, they can go play everywhere. It was just more opportunities for these guys to play at the next level. So, you know, and then not having the beach game really hurt. You know, that's been tough too because a lot of them used to just go and start training on the beach, and you know, they had the AVP to fall back on, which was great.
Well, great stuff, Michael, man. Thanks for coming on and talking boys volleyball. You did such a great job. We knew you'd hit it out of the park and cannot wait to hear about that Loyola Costa game. We'll definitely be updating that in our next show.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, you guys, and
right,
you guys do a wonderful job, and I appreciate you guys promoting the sport for sure.
We found our boys guy that's going to come on and talk boys club volleyball.
Yeah, we definitely have to have you back.
We have him. There he is, Michael Bowley.
I love it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks so much, and have a wonderful day.
All right.
You too.
Michael Bowley, Loyola.
Strong.
15-0. He's 7-0 in the league.
Dad Wayne was stud. His brother Danny owns Fonz's, the restaurant. Sister Cynthia and Jen played at UCSB.
Love Fonz's.
Brother-in-law Kevin Martin, Kmart, ex-AVP guy. So big volleyball family there.
Nice. Yeah. Love Fonz's. He had mentioned private coaching. Let's get some of that private coaching. Come on, Geeter. You, me,
yeah,
in the evening. A couple boys.
Yeah, Michael's the best.
$500 an hour. It'll be awesome.
He's won a lot of titles. A plethora.
A plethora.
How about that?
Titles.
3,000 at that Costa game. That's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun. They're also going to be down here at Redondo. I saw April 24th. Going to try and work that one into the calendar. Go down and see Michael and see his team play. The Net Live here on Volleyball Magazine. We will be right back with more. Still Andrew Pink coming up from UK Volleyball and the AVCA College of Volleyball Weekly.
The 2012 AVCA Spring Conference, now in its fifth year, is scheduled for May 3rd through 5th on the campus of the University of Southern California and the Radisson at USC. This year's event will be held in conjunction with the NCAA Men's Volleyball Division 1-2 National Championship. Just a few of the speakers attending will be Karch Karai and three of the Final Four coaches of the 2011 Division 1 NCAA Tournament. For more information and to register today, go to abca.org. See you in L.A.
You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at Spire Institute. Spire's postgraduate volleyball academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks, athletic development with Michael Johnson performance, and educational options all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. Spire Institute, postgraduate men's and women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off. It's adding a year to your future. Sign up today at SpireInstitute.org. Welcome back to Net Live. Barnett, McGee, Roche, all sitting in the home court. Nice to have you guys here. Reed Pretty trying to finish up in Russia. If you out there want to connect with us during the week, thenetlive@gmail.com, facebook.com/thenetlive. We also are on Twitter, The Net Live, on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. Peter's on Twitter. He's got like 5,000 followers plus, I believe.
Who cares?
You might have 10,000 now that you're a Fox guy.
Heat's a big deal.
He is a big deal.
Sorry, got angry there.
Heat, you were getting mad props for that last interview with Michael Boley.
I was?
Yeah. People like that one. We also had Michael Gervais, Pinnacle Performance here in Manhattan Beach. Lots of good stuff. We're now going to bring in a couple of gentlemen who I think could definitely use a little bit of mental training.
What's the over-under on Jay dropping the F-bomb?
If only to compete with the other. I mean, that's really, if only just to fight with one another, they could get some training, and maybe they should talk to Michael as I try and get our music up here. Here we go. Because nothing changes.
What?
And they don't have a good fight song.
This recording is so bad.
In association with the American Volleyball Coaches Association, the Net Live is proud to present each week the College Volleyball Weekly, a wrap-up of the best that was and a preview of what will be in the world of college volleyball. It's still the men. It's still the Anteaters and their band outside of the tennis center or something here in this horrible YouTube video.
UC Irvine, I'm a big fan of your program. I'm a big fan of your coaching staff. Wake up and fix this tragedy that is this song and this pep band and this terrible YouTube video. UC Irvine, the Anteaters, number one in the country once again. Gentlemen, Michael Sonheimer, Jay Hossick, welcome to ABCA Weekly, gentlemen.
Hold on.
How are we doing?
There they are. Welcome in, gentlemen. Thanks for being here, as usual.
Yeah, I just want to throw the warning out right now. Sandy, watch out for the F-bombs today. I don't want to hear anything like that from you today.
Why? I've had a nice off week. I wouldn't do that to you. Penn State actually had a good weekend. They won both. I can't say anything bad to you.
Can we start with Long Beach State 20-18 in the fifth over BYU?
Ooh, Sandy, go for it.
Long Beach State, up and down team. They've beaten UCLA. They've beaten BYU. They should have beaten Stanford. It's congratulations to Andy Reid and a great job with his staff to bring his team back.
They're the team that seems to be hot right now. Long Beach State they had a couple of losses there, but they seem to turn some things around. And there's been a few teams this year that seem to be hot in streaks, and that's they're a team that people are looking at right now.
Right. I also want to make sure we talk this week about the gyms, because the story on the West Coast is the gyms, not the matches.
Ooh.
The gyms.
Yes, the gyms.
Okay.
Talking about gyms as J-I-M-S or
G-Y-M-S? G-Y-M-S. Basically, UCLA is playing Irvine, the biggest match of Irvine-UCLA season, and it's in Crawford Hall, which seats 1,000 people with a stage. And right. USC is playing their biggest match in a while. They're hosting Stanford, but the Galen Center is not available. They're playing in the North Gym, the old things of Tim Hovland and Pat Powers days.
The window.
And McGee knows that well.
We even played in that thing.
I hated it there.
Love that gym. That's
you don't
a great
want to start
gym.
Receiving while it's light out with the windows.
It's amazing
the
place
ball.
To play. I mean,
I like the beer kegs up in the rafters, though, by the fraternity.
Oh, that's an awesome place. I love the beer rafters up there. That's a great gym.
I remember I hit a roll shot to defeat Gabe Gardner and Don Sujo in five in that gym.
Yeah. But you got your two biggest matches and going on, and they're being played not in the regular facilities, and both are going to sell out, and both are going
to
turn away people.
By the way, Crawford Hall will be out of control.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a fun little gym to play in.
I remember Chris Harger hit a ball off of my face during a match, right off my right eyeball and into the aforementioned raised stage.
Yes.
Or the upper deck there at Crawford. That one really hurt. I think I spent two or three points with one eyeball functioning.
I saw Thelonious Monster and Red Hot Chili Peppers there in 1987 at Crawford Hall. That was a great concert.
I thought you were going Thelonious Monk, going a little jazz.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
It there.
No, Thelonious Monster, even better.
Yeah,
even better.
Hey, you guys, you mentioned it's been kind of a quiet week, and certainly the case in the new ABCA poll just out. The top 11 remain the same, and that's UC Irvine, USC, UCLA, BYU, Stanford, Lewis, Pepperdine, Penn State, Long Beach, Ohio State, and Pacific, and then climbing at number 12 up from number 14, the Ridge.
Nice.
A couple of good wins, solid wins for the Ridge, 3 wins over Hawaii.
Yep.
That was if you guys got a chance to watch that. In fact, if, for those of you listening, ESPN3 still has that in an archive. You can watch the replay of that. Northridge did a really, really nice job of handling some of the better players on Hawaii, and for some reason, Hawaii just wasn't able to pull anything out. They've split with just about everybody this year. Am I right, Sandy?
Yeah, I mean, they're battling and they're trying to take it together. That's why the competition for 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in the MPSF has just been fierce, and it's going to go down the last weekend, just like the top 4 or 5 are going to go down the last weekend.
Yeah. So Northridge, I think, has solidified. I think Vinny Lopes mentioned that they have solidified the 8th spot, unless, of course, a natural disaster happens. But congratulations to Northridge and Jeff Campbell and the crew up there. You guys did a nice job. And Geeta, you're going to have a chance to go watch a playoff match now.
God, I'm so excited, by the way.
6-10 gets you in the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely. Pepperdine didn't do it.
Playoffs?
Yeah, perhaps Barney doesn't know what the playoffs means. His team didn't make it last year.
No, it was canceled due to a strike last year. Wasn't that happened?
I got a question for both of you. Sonny, I'll start with you first, but I want an answer from both of you. Is UC Irvine going to host, in your opinion? Do you think that they're playing that well right now that they will hang on and host that MPSF?
The schedule favors Irvine if they beat UCLA, because they'd have 3 losses. UCLA, either Stanford or SC, whichever wins, and BYU would have 4. UCLA still has to play BYU twice and Stanford. And if Irvine can get by, like I said, they have SC one more time, Irvine's in great shape to have the tiebreakers and be able to win the conference and be able to host in the Bren Center.
That's a big boost, too. If Irvine can host that, especially if they can host it in the Bren Center, not only would that be a great venue, but just a great chance for volleyball fans in Southern California to watch teams just battle.
Well, since Kevin Tilley got healthy, they've just been amazing. I mean, Kevin Tilley is playing as well as anybody, and you add him with Carson Clark. And again, Austin's setting really well. Stork had a concussion problem, and Austin's come in and set real well. And playing that little facility, this will be really the acid test for UCLA. The Bruins played really well, had a couple of stumbles, and now we'll see. They've had a week off for finals. They're coming back this week, and where the Bruins can come back, and they played Irvine a tough 5-gamer, 15-13 in the 5th, and see what happens this time.
Guys, what about USC, Fergie's young squad? I don't know if we thought they'd be here.
Unbelievable.
But ranked
playing
number 2 and what? We'll have won maybe 7, 8 in a row and beat UCLA?
Like 11 in a row, like 13 out of 14.
They're legit right now, and Tony Cirelli is doing a real nice job of passing. He's hitting the ball with a ton of range and a lot of heat. And Shandrick is doing a nice job in the middle. And Micah
Christensen, probably
a candidate for a newcomer of the year or freshman of the year, and doing a real nice job of distributing the ball. The speed of the power of the Division I game, you know, a lot of kids, it takes a year or so to kind of get used to it. Micah's come in, he's done a real nice job, put a lot of work in the gym, and he's connecting really, really well. So it couldn't be happier for Fergie and the guys out there.
Jay, you gave us a plethora of East Coast matches last week to watch, and one that you didn't mention was Quincy, Ohio State, which picked up its first victory in the MEVA.
Yeah, you know, I think
here's
what happened. Yeah, I did call that one, actually. Here's what I think happened, and I think it happens a lot, especially to us out here with some of the smaller teams in the EIVA, especially years past. They're gonna bring their A game. It's gonna be like a national championship to them. And Ohio State being the national champions last year, for Quincy coming and having them come in, it's a big deal. And I think Ohio State, some people, you know, kind of liking them to being the team they were last year. And they graduated 4 of those kids or 5 of those kids that were on that team. They're not the same team. And they're figuring some things out. And, you know, the seniors are who they are. Sangre and Berzins are both working their butts off. But, you know, the rest of that team is fairly new, and they're trying to figure out some things out. So, Quincy, congratulations to them. Again, I think they have 4 varsity teams. They have 98 kids on their roster. And, Hadley Foster, again, coming up with a good win at home in front of his home crowd. And, you know, Pete, I'm sure, recognizes that, every team's going to come gunning for him. But, unfortunately, they couldn't pull it out this weekend.
All right, give us the rundown of some of those other teams, because you had mentioned Ball State versus Loyola of Chicago. Loyola Chicago victorious 3-1. Then you had you guys versus my favorite team, Nidget.
That's right. Be careful how you pronounce that.
Yeah, Lewis and IPM Def also.
They lost the game, though. We have to talk about what happened with their set.
Oh, you know, NJIT is not a bad team. They're if you've ever been in their gym, it's a little bit funky, but hats off. They've got some good players on that team. And, you know, again, I mentioned it earlier, the EIVA is not as bad as everybody thinks, especially this year. They've got some good teams. Look at Harvard did to CSUN. That's a big deal. And look what they did to Cal Baptist. That's another big deal. And they're number two in our conference right now. So, yeah, we lost a set to NJIT. They played well. Harvard defeated Sacred Heart 3-1. George Mason lost to SC and to Pepperdine, both in three. Quincy defeated Ohio State. We talked about that. Carthage, a Division III team out of Wisconsin area, beat IPFW 3-1. That's a big loss right there for Arnie's Army. Lewis defeats IPFW as well in 3-0. Loyola beats Grand Canyon 3-1. So that's what's going on out in this direction.
All right, give me the upcoming week. Let's go with Mike first. Mike, I know you talked about UCLA and Irvine even last week, so that one's been on your mind for a long time.
March 31st, UCLA at Irvine, Stanford at USC. So when we talk next Monday, the league will be in a lot more determination of which way it's going. BYU gets a week to get ready for UCLA. They'll come to UCLA on the 6th and 7th. And then UCLA still got to play Stanford last weekend. So it's like a lot of things going on next couple of weeks. I think Irvine's the week in between with SC. So it's like I think everything's this weekend, though. And, again, it's in two different facilities, and I think that's going to create some havoc.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that for those two out there. I want to see what UCLA can do. They've kind of been on a little bit of a strange streak where they haven't had a couple of good matches. Stanford, USC, you know, those two teams right now, everybody's battling for seeding at the moment. You want to be in the top four to host out there. So I'm interested in that. Out here, Penn State's playing George Mason in Princeton this upcoming weekend, and St. Francis and George Mason are playing. They're playing, battling it out for seeding in the EIVA tournament coming up. They're both 3-4 right now, or 3-5. In the Midwest, Lewis and Loyola battling out, I think it's the final match of those two for this year, Loyola and Ohio State and Lewis and Ohio State. So the top three teams in the MEVA, with the exception of Grand Canyon, who is technically in first place. We'll see if they can hold up on that, but I think the top three teams are those three, and they'll be battling each other out all weekend. So it's a big week out here in the Midwest and East Coast.
Hey, guys, how important is it now for those top three, four teams to start thinking about how do you get that at-large berth? You know, last year it was SC. They were number one all year round. We know Irvine's gone that way. I mean, at what point do you start thinking that all these matches are important, because just in case you don't win, you know, that tournament?
Well, I think historically, I think there's only been one team, and that was the IPFW team with Lloyd Ball on it that got the non-West Coast bid for at-large.
And Steven is still pissed. He talked about that in New York about later.
So, you know, I think it's important, especially for the MPSF. Everybody feels that they're entitled to that spot. You know, I would argue differently if something else were to happen, but I think it's rightfully so. I think, you know, those teams out there should have two teams in there, and this year it's probably going to be the case again. And it's extremely important.
It will be the case.
Yeah, and it's extremely important out there, and especially if you're not hosting in the MPSF finals, to get a high enough seed. The criteria that's used, I'm not exactly 100% sure, but I know it comes down to matches of common opponents and matches in your conference and win loss record and the whole nine yards. So it's extremely important. You want to get that shot.
Definitely.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much. We appreciate your reports each week, and look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thanks, gentlemen. See you next time.
Look forward to talking to you.
All right, Mike and Jay, College Volleyball Weekly.
See ya.
Did you mute me?
No?
No, okay.
You're just not playing music, dude.
First of all,
the wealth of knowledge when it comes to men's volleyball. Sandy J. Hossack. Well done, gentlemen. ABCA Weekly.
No F-bombs for men.
Nope. Michael Poley. Very nice job. Dr. Michael Gervais, solid today.
Solid.
Reed in Russia, listening?
Nah.
Nah, he's done.
He's asleep, or he's having a 7-7. Jordan Larson over playing some ping pong. It's the usual over there.
The net life dominated today.
We're not done, dude. You're
no,
talking
I know.
Like it's over.
No, he still dominated.
Dominate.
Yeah. I mean, you could...
Give me that drop.
You talk about dominating.
You mean...
I watched... The Canadian women dominating curling this week. I dominated. Cam Kerr and I, sitting in the pizza place in Toronto, enjoying some dinner. I dominated. On one TV, Barnett dominating, tape from 1997. No, on one TV, NCAA, tournament going on, basketball. Hockey, of course, on another TV.
Did Cam know what basketball was?
He asked a couple of weird questions. But over on the third television, in the main room of this bar, with people watching it, curling. People,
very popular.
People throwing stones.
Yep.
It was a great stone.
There might be some people on our chat in our chat room that know Matt Dodd, Maymay Dodd. It's the brother of Mike Dodd. Works for the City of Hope. He actually is really into curling.
I hear
his wife, Carrie Dodd, beach volleyball player, told me that the other day. I had no idea. I was dying. Yeah, he like broke his wrist or let me fell too.
I hear it's extremely
broke his
difficult.
Wrist.
Yeah,
in
they
curling?
Actually, I think they just they have some Bloody Marys. They go to the tournament and they curl. People curl
okay.
out there.
I played with Bruce Edwards, guy in the Canadian team for a long time. Played with him professionally.
Curling?
No, he bet me. He bet me that if he gave me 10 stones, I couldn't put one in the middle. I guarantee I can put one in the middle.
And did you?
We couldn't do it. We're going to get a curling facility in Austria.
I think it's pretty difficult, to be honest with you.
All you got to do is measure out the momentum. Done. I can play shuffleboard in a bar. I can play on the shuffleboard itself.
And then would you turn to him and say,
I dominated.
Cam is in the chat room now. I'd like to know, is it like bowling in the States where you can have the beverages and it's part of
I'm
the
sure it's a
itinerary?
It's a family thing, too. And I was talking to Bruce about it. He said, yeah, families get together and they go out and play. And I'm sure it's a blast. We would have a great time. We had the NetLife curling tournament.
You know
it would be awesome.
You know how we here on the West Coast go, hey, let's go play Ace?
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Let's play a few sets of Ace.
Yeah, yeah. We go play Ace.
Nobody says
nobody's ever
sets
said
of Ace.
Ace ever. That's why you're from Chicago. Yeah, you go play Ace. With some frosty, cold ones, and that's what you do here.
Illegally on the beach, you might mention.
That's what you do here. Do they do that back there? Do they say, let's go do some curling?
Oh, I bet absolutely.
Let's go play some sets of curling.
No, what are they called? Frames? Would they be frames like bowling? Cam, what is? I don't remember curling. I watched a little bit of it in there, but I don't remember what it's called.
So they don't call it sets because that's incorrect.
They yeah. might, just to be incorrect. Maybe the International Curling Association calls it sets, and the Canadians
happy.
Call it games.
I'm not happy with you.
Barney, let's go play sets of Ace. I mean,
yeah,
can anything sound dumber?
Yeah.
Actually, it could. I've got next set. That sounds dumber.
Who's ever said that in the history
that sounds
of
worse. Oh, ends. Thank you,
honestly,
Cam.
You
10 ends. I like that.
Stop listening to the show if you've ever said, I have the next set.
I have the next set.
Yeah,
well, we're going to make that the thing. You know what? That's going to be the next NetLive T-shirt.
Absolutely.
It's going to say on the back, I got next set.
Absolutely not.
If it was correct English.
For TV service purposes only, you say sets because that's the
international TV only.
International. You do not say that here. You do not walk up to the Orange Court at Marine and say, hey, guys, I got next set.
It's not correct English.
It's so
hey, guys, what's the score in this set? It just, you can't, you don't do it.
So it's ends.
I don't know any club volleyball coaches in our region that even use sets. Never.
Canadians call it ends. Americans call it frames.
That's funny.
I love it. Big Daddy says nice ends. There are a couple of curling champs there. Had some nice ends. But it's populated with a lot of older folks. Like, I'm
okay.
an Olympic athlete,
text
but I'm
from Paul
48
Baxter.
And overweight.
Text from Paul Baxter.
Who's an authority
time,
on what?
Long time.
From Minnesota.
Long time beach volleyball player.
An authority
and
on.
And I've actually seen Paul without a hat. He coaches at Sports Shack and sometimes he doesn't wear a hat. I would bet Barney anything.
Okay.
He could put a stone in the middle circle with 10 throws without any other stones guy there. I was in a league a year ago. It's pretty tough.
Of course
he's
he was.
Betting you right now. Of course, Baxter.
Where
yeah,
is
yeah.
the
Baxter's
league?
Like,
Baxter,
he's on like an online poker league.
Where's the
curling.
League? I will go and
stuff.
I will do it. I will come for the 10
you know
stone
what?
Challenge.
I'm gonna go with Baxter.
I'm with Bax on this
I'm
too.
With Bax on this one.
Not a chance.
For him to.
You know what? You know who I'm with?
There's no way you're doing it.
I'm with Michael Gervais and I have positive self-talk. That's who I'm with. All right, I'm changing around my self-talk. I'm thinking positive. I am visualizing the stone in the middle.
I'm positive
Done.
You can't do it. How about that?
What do you want to put on the line here?
Whatever you want.
Paul Baxter, we got to find a place. If there's a place in L.A. we can go do this, we will go do this. We will get some frosty beverages,
Fine.
And we will go
Fine.
Play.
Fine.
I will not partake until after
Fine.
I put the stone in the middle because I don't want to have any
yeah,
excuses.
I don't, nope.
I don't want to be dizzy from my one beer that I drank. I want to be in prime physical condition.
I'll even
here,
give you
I will train all week and even stay off the motorcycle.
This
just so
is
I'm
a
fresh.
Tough question for our listeners and for you guys.
What are we talking about right
now? I'm going to bring it back to volleyball because this is the Net Live. What's in a better state right now? The sport of curling or the sport of beach volleyball?
The
honestly,
answer,
I want a real answer out there.
Unequivocally,
the right now to light out.
Is curling. Curling is dominating a country on television. Beach volleyball is...
Not on television.
I'm talking about here in the United States, beach volleyball. Not in Brazil, not in Europe, not the FIVB. I'm talking about in the United States.
If we had a list of top sports above beach volleyball, I'm betting I could come up with about 90 that got more attention than beach volleyball right now.
Matt Gardhoff, who legendary in his work, except for the worst cartoon character of all time, wrote, "This actually makes me miss motocross talk." And you know what? He might just be right.
Hey, you know you volley-centric people out there?
Volley-centric.
Take it easy. There's more to life than sets, okay?
Jay just said, I thought curling was what you did after you played sets of beach volleyball.
I love it. All right.
Jay always sides with Jeremy Roche and I on this one.
It's
when
just
it comes
for theatrical effect.
Because we're games. Because we're right. That's why.
No, because you all have never touched the international game. That's why. Moving to our next guest.
I'm pretty sure I announced the Olympics in Beijing. Pretty sure, buddy.
I don't like Kevin. I like our next guest, though.
I like our next guest, too, because this is... You talk about diversity in programming and us endeavoring to bring you a story that's out there. This guy's a Chicago native. Always love announcing that on this program. Yeah. We're into Rutgers, Newark.
He's a Bulls fan.
Has to be. Naturalized. Or I guess dual citizenship for the UK.
Like Mark Williams.
Played professionally in Germany, Poland, Italy, and Greece. He's an outside hitter, the vice captain of the UK national volleyball team. And I think he's been on hold for a little bit, but we were pulling him out of practice. He's missing some reps on the outside, but we appreciate it. Let's bring into the program the Net Live, the first ever UK volleyball athlete, Andrew Pink. Andrew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking some time to sit in and chat with us. We'll talk about curling later and your experience with that. But
talk to me about curling because the curling team from Scotland would give Canada a run for its money. So,
don't they do curling on a road? Isn't there like a non-ice version there in Scotland?
I have absolutely no idea. That's all I know. All I know is that it's on TV more than beach volleyball is on TV here in the UK, so we have that in common as well.
Well, let's talk about the fact volleyball in the UK. I don't think that's ever been spoken until recently. How has this team come together? What is the history of UK volleyball? Because I've only ever heard of one or two players in Europe that I've seen in Belgium or in Spain that were of UK descent.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. It's sort of wraps around how I got involved as well. I was playing in Germany like a lot of those second-tier guys from the U.S. do, and you just sort of go over for a year or two, have a bit of fun, have a few steins of beer, and all of a sudden we got the right to host the Olympics, and the sport funding committees here in the U.K. decided, you know, we're going to go for it, we're going to put money into sports, every sport that we've never put money in before, and all of a sudden we were starting a program from nothing, from scratch. And so they got together and hired a coach, Harry Brocking, who's from Holland, who's got a lot of experience and was involved with the Dutch team that was really good at the end of the 90s. And he came over and decided, you know, we're absolutely nowhere here. I think I was one of, like you say, two or three guys that were playing outside of the UK. And we had to start from nothing and try and build a team up. And so we started working. We were together, I think, for 18 months all together, no one going and playing professionally, training 2-3 times a day, killing ourselves to try and get up to a level where we could start to compete at any sort of level. And I got to tell you, the first year and a half was maybe the worst year of my life training-wise. We were killing each other. But, you know, now we're at a point where we've got some decent results and we've got a good young team. I'm sort of at the top end of the age group, and those young guys are really impressive athletes, so hopefully we've got a decent foothold now where we can move forward in the future.
Go ahead, Geeter.
I was going to say, hey, this is Geeter. What's the perception of volleyball over in England, both on the beach and indoor? Are people excited about it for the Olympic Games?
Well, as you guys might know, I think all of the official tickets for the indoor have sold, and that's a 15,000-seat arena, three sessions a day, men and women, completely sold out. And as you probably would guess, the beach volleyball sold out, I think, first of any sport, and it's the most highly requested corporate ticket, no surprises there. So going forward, I think we'll probably be riding the coattails of the beach volleyball in terms of visibility, and that's fine, and that makes sense. I understand that. But on the ground, you know, if I talk to somebody at the local pub and say I play volleyball, they have absolutely no idea of what that is. So we've got a lot of work to do in trying to move the sport forward. But I think it can be really successful here in England. We don't have too many sports that sort of conflict with the international schedule, and you know, it sort of runs in time with the football or soccer schedule. But other than that, we don't really have a whole lot going on. So I think it can be something quite interesting for the country in the future. But, you know, we are at the stage where we've got a lot of things to hammer out in terms of federations. We have four different federations that are trying to come together to put an Olympic team together, because when we're not at the Olympics, we compete as England and Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland separately. So, you know, imagine you have USA Volleyball, and once every 4 years, you have to bring together a new federation to put everybody else together. I mean, it's insane. I can't describe to you how many people are not really pulling in the same direction as us. So we've got a lot of things to work on, but you know, going forward, I think we're well placed to open a lot of people's eyes to the sport, and you know, that's what our team is sort of built for this time around.
Is it sort of like the days of old in history there in the UK? If one of the federations takes York, will they have the opportunity to invade main England and take over the federation?
Well, you know, we do get into that a little bit. We do have a few Scots on the team, and, you know, we're nice with them now. But in the first of all, I couldn't understand a word they were saying when I first arrived. And I'll tell you, I'll go back a little bit. When I was at Rutgers, I flew over to the UK, stayed with my family, and thought, you know, I qualify for the English national team. I'm going to try and find out if it exists, because I couldn't find, there was no web page, there was nothing. And through a few connections, I got in touch with the coach and went to a training camp, and they used to train 2 or 3 days a month just on a weekend, and they were using a facility that was an old American Air Force base left over from World War II, because that was one of the only double sprung wood floors in the country. So we would go to this place, it was
wow.
In the middle of nowhere. It was in the middle of nowhere, derelict. You know, there was rain coming through onto the floor, and it was like, okay, go sleep on that disused squash court. And I'm coming from America thinking, oh, wow, this is a national team. It's going to be great. You know, there's going to be, you know, this, that, and the other. And I arrived, and I was like, I had better facilities in high school. So to go from that stage to where we are now is, you know, unbelievable. And, you know, we're so fortunate, obviously, that we're automatically qualified, and nobody's taking that for granted. We're, you know, working, you know, feverishly to try and get our level up where we can compete and maybe win a couple matches, and who knows what happens from there. I mean, none of us are under any illusions that we're going to be competing for a gold medal. That's, you know, we're 50 years behind most countries. But, you know, to come from nothing or maybe next to nothing to where we are now, I think we've done a great job.
Yeah, you guys are actually at a point where you have an official mascot, Spikey. He kind of looks like a lion or a tiger or something. Says here he loves steak raw, and God Save the Queen is his favorite song, and he only gives 5-4s. So I'll kind of throw this in with the question of how have you been received by the crowd, because there's some sweet shots of Spikey here posing down and being at what looks like a fairly crowded arena.
Yeah, you know, I heard the interview you did with Doug Beal, and obviously Reed's been talking about a little bit about the Americans. And when we had the test event last year, that was a bit of a disappointment for us, because the stadium itself has hosted, you know, rock concerts and exhibitions or whatever. And there's enough seating in the sort of – there's an upper bowl, and that seating is there. It's not going to change. And there's seating there for 7,000-8,000. And they decided they didn't need to test the arena for the ability to handle crowds. They were testing the flooring, the scoring, that sort of thing. So they only released 500 tickets to friends and family. So when we played the test event, you know, our sort of biggest exposure matches in the middle of London, the first time we played in London in 4 years, because we're not based in London, and there was 500 tickets. and it was just friends and family. It was disappointing. And I'll tell you another little story. We played Spain in the European League 2 or 3 years ago up in Sheffield, where we're based, as a, where we train. And they were the European champions at the time, and there were 30 people in the audience, and I could name every single one.
30?
So, 30. And I'm not, that's not an exaggeration. I counted. There's 30, and I could name first and last name of every person in there. So
the Olympics will
there's,
be
a, there's some work great. To be done. There's some work to be done.
Well, hey, Andrew, we sure appreciate you taking time out of practice to talk to us. We would love to check in with you as the games get closer and hear more about how the team is coming together and expectations. I know you mentioned you guys aren't hoping to be in the medals, but I imagine you're hoping to pick up quite a few victories.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going for. We're sort of shooting for a quarterfinal appearance, and as you know how the pools work, you sort of have to win two matches. And that's how we've been going about it so far, playing teams from Asia and from Africa, trying to compete against who's likely to be there. So that's what we're looking for in the future. But, yeah, whenever you guys want, just drop me a line, and I'd be happy to come on and give you an update.
Fantastic. Andrew Pink is a 28-year-old co-captain, Chicago native, who will be in the 2012 Olympics.
We'll be pulling for you.
The UK. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
All right, we'll be in touch.
I got to tell you, bad idea to have a mascot name. What was it, Stinky?
Spiky.
Spiky.
Stinky.
I'm telling you, mascots and mimes, there's
look
just...
At him.
Yeah, I'm looking.
He's got, like, blue hair.
I've been to the festival, those JOs, those
like
kind of tournaments. They try to bring...
This is the 1965
ABT tried
school.
To do it. Yeah. Remember when they brought out the... What was that? Sunny?
Bali or...
There's Ace the Eagle.
Yeah, yeah. I just...
Ace isn't bad. Ace the Eagle, USA Volleyball has him.
Just see no purpose. I love the ESPN commercials, the old ESPN commercials. If you noticed all of them, a mascot would always get crushed.
Oh, yeah.
In the background. It was always my favorite part.
Why is that funny? Because I always enjoy that. Two mascots fighting is hilarious.
Yeah.
Physical comedy.
I mean,
is the
Ace
best.
Ventura, when Jim Carrey crushes the parrot or whatever that thing is, the Miami Dolphins game. Or,
it was the Eagle.
The Eagle, yeah, the Eagle, sorry. It's just fantastic.
Physical comedy is the best.
But I don't know what Stinky's going to do
there's
at
something
the
about
Olympic Games. Who
Stinky.
Spiky. Whatever, whatever.
Come on, it's even a volleyball reference. You shouldn't have a hard time remembering
yeah,
that.
So fun.
You had a bad experience as a kid, huh?
Something. I can't figure it out. I should talk to my parents about it. But
I should talk to my cousin. She was Pam the Ram at Colorado State for a while. Back when rollerblades was new, she was rollerblading around. It would be fun to be the mascot, wouldn't it? You want to be the
mascot? I told you about the Cal Bear touching me in a weird spot at the UCLA football game this year. I told you about that. I almost turned around.
First of all,
in
a weird Cal spot. Bear is weird. Looking.
Yeah, and knew my name. It was really, really
like
strange.
The Cal Bear
it
is
a weird,
strange.
Weird touch, and I
so you've been intimate with the Cal Bear.
God, it took everything.
Cal Bear has like a cardigan,
yeah,
and like brown
so
khaki pants. It looks
creepy and weird.
Wait, I got a cardigan?
Yeah. On this note, I got to go pick up Millie. Good show, everybody.
Looks weird.
Look at this Geeter just diving out. 2 weeks, we'll see you, right? You're not really picking up Millie. You got like Albert Pujols for golf or something.
Enjoy my headphones, Mo.
I got to go to miming school.
Miming school?
I'm going to become a mime, and then I'm going to go learn how to play sets.
Of aces. Goose. I hate when people call it aces.
Oh my god.
I'm just so bummed Gervais dropped an F bomb before I did on the show. I've wanted to so badly, but I always thought Reed would get mad at me.
Reed's already unhappy with us, so it doesn't matter.
Reed is not unhappy with me. He's unhappy maybe with you, but he's fine with me, loves me.
Hey, big thanks to AVCA, to Volleyball Magazine for hosting our site. Get out there and check out Volleyball Magazine. They're putting out a nice portal and information about the volleyball world. USAV for their involvement with our program. Of course, the Spire Institute, who is the main sponsor of this program now. We sure appreciate their efforts. Remember, you can visit them at spireinstitute.org. Spire Institute is sports training and education at its finest.
I do have one more thing to say.
Yes, Mr. McGee.
It's always sad to
go.
lose people and members of the volleyball community. So just hug your loved ones. Just do me a favor. Time is short out there.
Are we going to hug it out before you leave?
Nope. Absolutely
no, he'll be gone but while we're cleaning up the equipment, Jeremy.
Just
it'll be
to
fine.
Say that.
Been a great show. Michael Gervais on the program. Andrew Pink on the program. The AVCA College Volleyball Weekly, as usual, a lot of fun. Michael Boley on the program. Loyola, get out there and check out some volleyball this week. Communicate with us, facebook.com/thenetlive or thenetlive@gmail.com. Remember, folks, program note, we will be taking next week off. It's spring break. Not just for you and your kids, it's also for the NetLive crew.
We're going to Panama City.
That's right. That's right, too, Panama City. Have a suit, dude.
That'd be awesome.
Let's get a houseboat, the NetLive houseboat. There's that accent for you, Jeremy.
There's that guy. You know that guy.
Oh,
you know
trust
who
me.
He is.
I know that guy.
You know that guy.
Yep.
He's pumped on going to have us do this next week.
Careful. My headphones.
All right, Jeremy, spin us on out of here. Hey, Vala Clothing, get your NetLive t-shirts before we have the NetLive t-shirts that on the back say, I got next set. So get the good ones while they're hot.
Our supply's getting low. We're almost out. People, get yours now.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're going to have coffee mugs next. That'll be good. Coffee mugs that say, I got next set. People would use that.
I got next set.
I want to see those at the beach. The NetLive, I got next set.
I'm awful. Furious that I'm not on these. I'm not in the show anymore. I can hear you guys, and I'm upset with you.
Chris McGee's got his beanie on because it's still 60 here. Not raining today.
Set.
Punch it, Roche. We're out.
Flapping at you.
I know. It happens.
You
not the,
wrap
not
up
the last
quick.
Time for today. Here it comes.
Yeah, better wrap up quick.
All right, I'm Kevin. He's Chris. And also Jeremy.
Barney's got 10 stones in Burlington.
We'll see you next week. I'll be in Houston this week. Anybody down there for Supercross?